Hola, chicas. Welcome to Encuentras Your Voice podcast, where we share Latina journeys from pain points to thriving success, honoring heritage with pride and celebration. I'm your host, Consuelo Crosby, here every Wednesday at 5 p.m. on the Pacific Coast to break up your typical week, offer inspiration from the amazing Latina guests, and bring joy back into your everyday. We are so closely intertwined in this cultura, which makes it so easy to support and celebrate each other and make this Latina fabric vibrant. Today's guest may not ever have crossed your path if you're not a whiskey drinker. Did you automatically get a visual of your abuelos drinking their whiskey? Yeah, but this is completely different. If I describe her as a Cuban-American first gen who cherishes her heritage, wants to create legacy for her family's sacrifices, has broken barriers, and supports other marginalized entrepreneur communities, you may think I'm talking about your best amiga or even yourself. That's how close we are to each other and how much we have in common. So when I say that she is the first and only woman in a 500-year history to create a brand of Scotch whiskey, we can all lean in, celebrate, and learn from someone who knows what it's like to break down barriers as a woman, as a Latina, and as an entrepreneur in a male-dominated industry. Karin Luna Ostaseski is a Cuban-American first gen who grew up in Miami, Florida, yearning to become an artist. But like many of us, she was told by her mother to get a real job. Well, Karin did both, going to art school and intuitively knowing that websites would be a thing one day. It was during her university days that her friend introduced her to whiskey. Now, admittedly, it wasn't the taste that grabbed Karin's attention, but the slowing down of time spent in personal conversation with whiskey in hand, reminding her of her cultural heritage where people matter most. And for Karin, those people were her family. It was in honor of her family and creating legacy for their sacrifice in immigrating to the U.S. that inspired Karin to leave behind a 17-year career as marketing creative director and journey down this untrodden path of becoming the first and only woman founder in 2012. You won't believe how many rejections she received in attempting to create the brand and how many more when seeking investors. Even so, beyond the fiery determination and resilience is the compassionate soul of Latinas. Through Sia Scotch, in gratitude for what she achieved, Karin has provided over $350,000 in grants to entrepreneurs of marginalized communities. The precious funding that can make or break any small business owner and is rarely distributed into their hands. And just like Karin, Sia Scotch carries notes of joy that positively affect us all. Think vanilla, salted caramel, buttery toffee that can be combined into craft cocktails that Karin offers on the Sia Scotch website and includes ingredients like toasted croissant simple syrup. Say no more. Karin Luna Ostaseski, first and only woman founder of Sia Scotch, is here to share the depth of Cuban culture in her soul. The most important piece of business advice: how she achieved this amazing distinction, and how it shines outwardly to benefit all around her, from business grants to pure joy in slow conversation with a glass of Sia Scotch whiskey in hand. Welcome to Encuentras Your Voice podcast, Karin.
We are so excited to hear your journey today and grateful that you joined us.
Thank you so much for having me, Consuelo.
It's going to be exciting. I literally have never heard of a female founder in this spirit, typically more leaning towards mezcal, tequila, pisco for us Peruvians, but scotch? So this is going to be a good one that no one's heard before. But first, as we always do, we like to honor our ancestors and really archive the diaspora of our Latinidad. So if you could share your heritage story with us, we'd love that.
Absolutely. So I am a very proud Cuban-American, daughter of Cuban immigrants. It's a big part of who I am, my identity, and how I choose to honor the sacrifices that my family made so that I could have a better life and so that my kids could have a better life. I grew up in Miami, Florida, in the 70s and 80s at a time when it was very, very much all Cubans in Miami. Going back now as an adult to visit, it's nice to see how cosmopolitan Miami has become. But definitely growing up, you know, Spanish was my first language, you know, very much around food, community, culture. It's just a big part of my life and something that I'm bringing into my family now as well.
That's what I was going to ask. How much of that heritage just keeps coming forward into your own family? What's your favorite part of the culture that you're bringing forward?
Well, you know, it's funny. I always tell people, like, you know, the language like in your heart is like when you stub your toe or when you curse. You don't think about it, right? So it comes out for me in Spanish. And so, I think it's funny. My kids will even laugh when they're like, ay, coño, where is the shit? It's just kind of cute. So my husband is a gringo and early on, I was like, you know, would you be interested in learning Spanish? And he's like, oh, not really. He can get by with what I call restaurant Spanish. But now that my kids, they're approaching, you know, my oldest is 8. And so I realized like, okay, it's now or never. So what I've done is every morning on the way to school, we listen to Pimsleur's Learn to Speak Spanish. And so it's kind of nice because, you know, they get about 15 to 20 minutes every single morning. And it's someone else doing the teaching, so it's not me, which is nice. But it's cute because it's meant for an adult. And so the other day we were laughing because the lesson was "Yo quiero dos cervezas." So the kids are like, "Yo quiero dos cervezas." Like, don't say that, and then they start laughing. They say it perfectly now.
They're going to take that into high school or even junior high these days. They're like, does anyone know Spanish? See? Yes. You get a call from the teacher.
It's sweet. They all have, you know, I think a very easy predisposition to it. It's coming very, very quickly for them. And, you know, they love visiting their grandma in Miami and, you know, getting that part of the culture from the primos as well.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah, absolutely perfect. So growing up, Spanish was first language, deeply embedded in the culture. So fun. What a great time of your life. And what was it like when you had to break from that? When was that?
Yeah, I think it probably started when I was making the difficult choice of you know, what to be when you grow up, right? And I was very inspired. Maybe it was like in like late grammar school, early high school. I forget the exact year, but there was like a career day. And one of the students' fathers came in and he explained that he worked for a magazine. And he kind of showed us how the magazine is laid out, all the different, you know, colors and the CMYK process and the typesetting and the layout. And I was just fascinated by this. And I thought, you know, I want to work for a magazine someday, or like, you know, use my interest in art and pursue, you know, a career in graphic design. The challenge was I didn't really know anybody that did it. I didn't know where to start. And when I told my mom that I wanted to be a graphic designer, she was just like, hard no, right?
Oh yeah.
Like, no daughter of mine is going to sell paintings on the side of the street. I'm like, what are you talking about, mommy? Like, who's going to really run selling paintings? Like, I want to do graphic design. It's commercial. It's with computers. And she just didn't get it. And my dad, who, you know, he and I, we would bump heads quite a bit. And, you know, our relationship is definitely checkered. But had a couple of, like, really good moments where he's definitely guided me in the right direction. And he, you know, begrudgingly became a doctor because his dad was a doctor and his grandfather was a doctor and he was just miserable in his career. Really? And he came to me and told me, you know, I always wanted to be an artist and my parents told me I had to be a doctor. And he's like, I don't want that for you.
Oh,
you should do what you love and the money will come. And so I said, okay. And so I ended up getting a full scholarship to art school. And that's what I chose to do with the next 17 years of my life as a career. And it brought me quite a bit of joy. But along the way, I did find a passion for whiskey. and that's when, you know, I think it was
should
just,
we oh. ask how?
Well, funny story. I was in my 20s and this, you know, now you go back to the days of Sex and the City, right? All of the girls in my life were drinking Cosmopolitan. And all my guy friends were drinking Red Bull vodkas. And I was living in New York, dressed all in black, hanging out at the bar. It's like a total cliche. And my friend Omar, he said, after work, he's like, do you want to grab a glass of scotch? And I said, gosh, no way. That's my grandfather's drink. I don't drink that. And he's like, well, you know, it sounds like you just haven't found your brand yet. Let's go on a whiskey adventure. And I said, okay. So that night I tried 4 different whiskeys. And I was instantly taken with this one brand called Oban 14. It's really smooth, easy drinking. And I love the bartender telling me these stories of these distilleries and these distillers and blenders and whiskey makers that were putting product into barrels to age for, you know, 21 years that they may never get to taste themselves. And it was this idea of like a legacy, if you will. And I thought that was so beautiful. And I got to thinking like, well, what's my legacy, right? I'm basically sitting at a computer screen all day long, designing things so that other people could stare at their computer screens or phones all day long. And what I love about whiskey in particular is it's not a party drink or a shot. With a glass of scotch, you really take your time with someone, you go slow and you have a moment of connection. And I realized that it was these moments of connection that I wanted to leave behind as my legacy.
Oh, that's beautiful. Oh, I have never considered it like that ever. I do align with this is an old man's drink. Had been prior. I love a whiskey sour. I'll take it that far. But the first time I had whiskey, it was like, you know, junior high when you sneak into your friend's parents' house and y'all try a little sip of that, which I don't even know what that was like, gasoline. Yeah, and then you refill it with water so they don't know. Yeah, like they don't know. Oh, I never considered that beautiful. 2 points. One, it goes back to the comunidad, the cultura, where you sit with each other and you take that moment of conversation and time together over something that you can enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No
and
rush,
then
right?
Yeah. No rush. Like the simple life comes back, which is so tied to you. And then the thought of legacy. At such a young age to have that consideration, that was your aha moment, I guess, right then.
That goes back to our culture, right? Like you think, you know, and not to say it's guilt, but it's definitely an awareness of the sacrifice that our families made for us. So you need it to be worth something, right? Like, you know, what was it all for? And, you know, to give us the ability to pursue our dreams and our passions, but also to do something that helps to give something back into the world.
That's beautiful. Yeah, it can easily get caught up in make more money as a way of showing your success and rather than that legacy. So when did you start getting into the idea that you were going to do it yourself, though?
Yeah, so that's the longer journey, right? The passion at first is, you know, how do I share this with everyone I love, right? And I was getting these, you know, stereotypical notions that I had too, right? That it's a grandfather's drink, that it's too smoky, that it's expensive. And so I started getting curious and I started visiting Scotland quite a bit, going on distillery tours, reading lots of books and magazines. I ended up getting certified as a global whiskey ambassador. I got my bartending license. And this is all on the slide, right? Like this is like not my day job. And then I started hosting scotch tasting events and really learning what brands people like, what they didn't like and why. And And how can I introduce a whole new generation of people to this spirit that I love so much? So I learned a lot about the flavor profiles and eventually, you know, what is the flavor profile that's a great gateway or entry whiskey, if you will. So then I started doing something that I was reading a lot about, which is making blends. And so I would take different whiskeys and I'd take, you know, same way like you experiment in the kitchen cooking or, you know, a bartender uses different ingredients to make a cocktail. Whiskey makers or blenders are taking different whiskeys and creating a new flavor profile. And so that's what I did. And then I ended up with one that I thought, you know, this is it. I think I got it. And I had, you know, the idea, I had the passion, I had the drive, but I was missing that one thing that every business owner needs, which is money. So I started working a second job, doing freelance design work at night, third job. And then I maxed out my credit cards. I took out a loan against my house. And it still wasn't enough to get that first batch of Sia out. And so I did something that no one had done at that point in time. And it was, I turned to a relatively unknown website called Kickstarter in 2012. And I crowdfunded the first batch of Sia. So I was able to raise almost $50,000 from 250 people all over the world who were asking me, where can I buy a bottle of Sia? Or a single drop had hit the U.S. soil. So definitely off to the races. And that made me, as far as I know, the first woman in history to create a brand of Scotch whiskey.
Oh, my Lord. Okay, this is where we need the confetti and the ticker tape. Oh, my God, congratulations. Like, wow. And this is 2012. This is recent. And hundreds of years. No, for hundreds of years, there's been no woman
literally
who's ever had their own company.
The first Scotch records go back to like 1400s, 1494. And, you know, so I mean, to think that, you know, there's been women who have taken over, you know, their widowed like husband's distilleries through time, but, you know, to kind of start from zero. And the same thing for it to be a Hispanic person in the industry too, to really just kind of be a pioneer and really changed the face of this category. It's exciting for me. And it also means that I can open up the doors for other people who look like me, who have had my story, and give them that inspiration to do something totally different with their lives.
That is amazing. The courage. That's the first thing I think of. You're going through all these pain points of how to get that first bundle of money. And I'm thinking, okay, I would have stopped. Whoa, she's crazy. How did you keep the courage to get beyond that crazy? Because that's a fearful point.
Yeah.
Especially when you're so embedded in your life by that time.
Yeah. I think I learned early on that you need to ask for what you want, right? It's a big lesson that I try to tell my kids, my friends, you know, other entrepreneurs, that if you don't ask, you're not going to get it, right? And this lesson came to me when I was a teenager. Again, like, you know, kind of going back to my dad, he was kind of encouraging me to do graphic design and you know, well, what magazine would you want to work for? And, you know, we were at a Barnes & Noble and he had me pick out all the magazines that I would. And, well, this is weird. What are we doing here? And so then we came back to his house and he like got out a stack of papers and a pen. And he's like, I want you to write to the person at the magazine that would be your boss. And if you worked for them. And I was like, okay, what do I say? And he's like, you know, say that you're a high school student, you're going to be going to art school, that you're interested in magazine graphic design, and you'd love to meet with them. And I felt like, okay, that's like some, like, you know, Mr. Miyagi karate kid. Wow. And then it was like the movies. Like the next 2 weeks, I was getting letters from Time Magazine, Discover, Sports Illustrated, Scientific American, Newsweek. I mean, you name it. And like every single one said yes. And so it was just wild. So I went, you know, to New York. And I met with all of these, you know, as a high school student. It was crazy. And what I learned when I came home was that I didn't want to work for the magazine.
Oh,
the thing is that each and every single one of them was starting to build out their websites and that they needed design for that. And I thought, this is what I want to do. I want to be a web designer. And so it really guided me early on to give me this gift of not only knowing what I wanted, but also being able to ask for what I wanted from a young age. And so that translated later on. When I started Sia, you know, I reached out to every distillery, every, like, you know, possible partner that I could to get started. And I got the opposite. I got rejected. Yeah. I got rejected 80 times. And this is over the course of 3 years, right?
Oh, my Lord.
this worth it? Is this like, am I onto something? Is like, am I crazy? Like, you know, should I do this? And it was interesting because each rejection was a checkpoint in my life to say like, I do want this. And so it kind of kept me going. And then the same thing happened again when it came to fundraising, you know, being rejected over 100 times from investors. So I think it's just really learning to just keep asking for what you want.
Wow. That is such a huge lesson because, again, would have stopped early on. But also having a little of that grain of like, well, this is an all male dominated industry with the scotch. Investors very much the same, although we are breaking through finally.
Yes.
But that chipping away at them to and then lean towards the world. It's like, okay, gatekeepers. No. Let's see if this is something I want to do. That's a huge lesson for us and the listeners to learn that the gatekeepers are never going to want you in.
And the reality is you'd be surprised who says yes, right? I thought, you know, again, is this an old boys club? But the first doors, that 81st yes, it actually came from a set of sisters. So it was Lauren and Gabby Shane. They call themselves the Whiskey Sisters. And they are a third generation, like from a family of third generation Scotch importers. Their father owns a Scotch whiskey importing company. They're based in South Florida. And they said, you know, yeah, we want to change the face of Scotch as well. We'd love to, you know, be your ally, help you how we can with our connections. And they eventually became investors and partners in the brand. So, you know, it's wild when what you think these gatekeepers are going to look like when they end up being, you know,
they were ready. They had the door open. They were just waiting for you. Like, anyone out there? Is anyone coming?
Like, well, she's here. We should just celebrate. Like, you know.
Roll out the red carpet.
Like, I've been waiting for you too.
Yes. Yes. So you spoke of blending and of finding that final, what you thought was great for your brand and your legacy, Sia. What can you describe the taste for us? What is
Absolutely.
This?
Thank you. So it's what I learned in doing all of these tastes experiences is that the nose is almost 80% of the taste experience. Sometimes it's if a whiskey is too smoky or peaty on the nose, you might get turned off to it before you even taste it. And so it was really important for me for Sia to not have any smoke on the nose. What you mostly get is vanilla and caramel. So really inviting flavor profile. Oh. And then in the mid palate, you get some citrus and honey notes. And then there's just a gentle finish. So it's a really inviting flavor profile. It's great for people who are new to the category and also for people that love it as well. It's 86 proof. So that's 43% ABV. So it's strong, but it holds up very well in a cocktail as well. So I like to experiment with cocktails. I like to tell people drink whiskey any way you like, if it's neat, if it's with the rocks, a little water, doesn't matter, right? Like, this is your journey. And it's also really fun to experiment with cocktails. So typical Scotch drinks like, you know, Blood and Sand or Rob Roy are great. But, you know, with Sia, you can have a lot of fun. And I've seen Sia used in mojitos and daiquiris, piña coladas. I'll do one called a coquito colada where I'll have like a canela simple syrup with piña colada. It's delicious. And other drinks too, that it might be like more bourbon drinks, like an old fashioned or a paper plane. And recently, even cocktails like, you know, even an espresso martini. They're really just having a lot of fun with cocktails. Yeah.
Yeah. So adding, because it sounds like it's enough in the middle ground to not take over any of your other flavors, that it's boosting whatever you're adding to it.
Exactly.
Oh, that sounds so delicious. Okay, now we're doing this at 10 in the morning. I'm thinking day drinking.
the word is happy hour somewhere.
And then all these drinks sound like we should be on a beach, maybe Rio.
let's go.
Let's go. The name, Sia, where does that come from?
So it's funny. I think I had a harder time picking a name for my brand than my firstborn child. I went through, and for any entrepreneurs out there, picking a name is difficult, right? Sometimes the good ones are taken. And in fact, the first 5 names that I tried to trademark were already taken in the category by brands that weren't really out in the market. So I was unfamiliar with them. And I also did a world trademark search. So some were being used in other countries. And I, you know, again, this took like a few months where I was just like kind of feeling defeated. And one day I'm like laying down and I look over at like my whiskey, like little library that I had, and I saw I had the Scottish Gaelic Dictionary. So I pulled that out and I'm going through it word by word, and I landed on the word Sia, and it means the number six in Scottish Gaelic. So it was kind of funny. That was the sixth name that I kind of went for. It's also my favorite number. And there are six whiskeys in the original blend for Sia. What I learned later, though, that my friend pointed out to me, he said, you should just tell people that Sia stands for Scotch is awesome.
A great way to remember the name for your brand and to go after it.
Yeah. And I mean, Scotch whiskey names tend to be a little bit more complicated and difficult to pronounce. So I wanted a name that was short and sweet, memorable, and you could like read it from far away at a bar as well. The graphic designer in me is like, okay, if it's shorter than the label, the names, the font can be bigger.
Oh, there you go. See, your journey was leading you to this moment.
Yeah.
I think that's the hardest part for being a young person with grand ideas is to have the patience of the process, to believe that everything you're doing, web designing for 17 years and three jobs and crowdfunding, it's showing your passion, definitely, but it's all part of that process that is what you're telling us, not an overnight process, to finding your final success with it.
Yeah, I think that a lot of skills are also transferable, right? And, you know, if it's, you know, learning how to work with customers, or if it's, you know, being able to stand on a stage and speak, if, you know, maybe you had like a theater or, you know, background, or, you know, if you're really good with numbers and math, and it's like, okay, well, that's definitely transferable for you as well. So I think it's just, you know, finding what interests you and seeing what the parallels are. And if there's something that you know that you're not good at, then having that courage to admit that, but also just finding someone who is and getting them on your side.
That is also a very difficult part. I feel like coming out of the cultura, being a woman, Latina.
Trying to do it all.
All by yourself. And so difficult to ask for help. So difficult to know what to hand off. Because now, like you were saying with the children, this is your baby, right? Yeah. It's so difficult to hand off any part of that to someone else and feel like they would have the same passion or the same dedication or doing the best job. So that all these lessons learned. So when you're in this success point, you have Sia, what then was the response? Did the response change to you? Did doors open up for you?
Yeah. So I think it was really joyous for me to see how well it was received. Watching the brand get accepted into bars and restaurants and stores and seeing people buy it. And I'd be in stores doing samples or bottle signings. And when I tell people it's a Scotch whiskey and I hand them a little sample, you know, you could see in their faces, many people, they almost like brace for impact, like, uh-oh. And then they tasted it and their face just lights up with delight. And they're like, oh, wow, this is delicious. It's so smooth. I love it. Or like you could see that they're a Scotch whiskey drinker now too. And they're hooked, right? It's almost like a gateway whiskey for them. And it's one that can lead to them trying other spirits, right? I'm not trying to convince anyone to stop drinking their favorite whiskey and start drinking Sia. I'd rather this whole other world of like, how can I bring them into this category? I think it's definitely just about expanding horizons and opening your mind.
Yeah, I could see where it would be valuable for on so many points, but really valuable to one, you're breaking stereotypes over and over again, breaking stereotype with being the female founder, a Latina founder, breaking the stereotype of the intent. Because I think for a lot of just my, you know, ignorant knowledge, a lot of it is to maintain that old heritage from the Highlands and and not, you know, it's almost like you're not honoring it if you break that stereotype. And no, it's I loving to get a fresh take.
Yeah, exactly. I think I'm, you know, a student of this category and have extreme respect for the heritage, the culture, the journeys behind this, and also really proud that they've let me in, if you will, right? to show that there is room for a newcomer, that there is room for experimentation, for different insights and perspectives. So yeah, I try to, you know, always honor the heritage from it in the same way that I honor my own heritage. and sort of, you know, try to find ways that we can blend the cultures.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, no, total breath of fresh air. This is going to go big. Well, it did go big, right? Yeah. So
we've won numerous awards, 96 points, double gold medals. The brand is now in 14 states. We've been featured in Rolling Stone as their number 4 most recommended whiskey. I think besides the accolades, the part that I'm most proud of is that with brand success, we've been able to give back towards minority entrepreneurs. So that's a cause that's very near and dear to my heart. And a little bit about that. So
yes, please.
As a Latina, I think it's always, I think women too, in general, we tend to find ways to support our causes as we find success. And I think it's just inherent in our nature. From day one, I knew that I wanted this brand to stand for something. And I wanted people who had similar journeys as mine, who looked like me, who had similar stories, have an easier time than I did, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think the first year I gathered up my sales and all I could afford to donate to a local charity that supported minority entrepreneurs was $100. And then the second year, the brand grew a little bit more and I was able to give $200 to a different organization. And then as the brand grew over time, this is, you know, almost 7 years later, I formed a group called the Entrepreneurial Spirit Fund by C.S. Scott. And to date, we have donated over $250,000 in the form of grants to small business owners that identify as minorities, women, people from the LGBTQIA plus community, basically anyone who needs help. So we've given to date 35 grants of $10,000 each to business owners to start and grow their businesses. It also comes with mentorship. So I personally mentor each of these business owners.
Oh, wow. Also
found some other groups that I like to participate with as a volunteer, SKU, which is a consumer packaged goods accelerator, and the Black Ambition Prize, which supports Black and Brown entrepreneurs. And I mentor the beverage category entrepreneurs. So it's a lot of things stacked, but it gives me a North Star, if you will, of how can I keep growing this brand so that I can help more people.
Oh my gosh. Again, that's staying, you're so close to the cultura, staying very on point with, okay, I'm in this system, but I'm not aligning with its values. I'm carrying my own values forward. So, wow, thank you for that. That's so much, it's so much giving and to have so much going on all the time for you. You are always tearing 3 jobs, your mom, you're a partner, you're invested in this huge company, and then you're giving mentorship and volunteer work. Girl, that whiskey's good for you. On the grants that is funded through SIA, is this for people in the industry or is this any entrepreneur?
Any entrepreneur. We have some categories because we are in the alcohol industry, we don't invest in anything related to healthcare or children. It doesn't align for
conflict, a little bit
exactly,
of conflict,
because we do want to promote these businesses as well. And we can't do that as an alcohol brand. But basically any category, we try to focus on the states where we do have distribution, because then there is a reverberation effect of how we can help grow those brands. I do try to focus on brands that have some way that they give back as well, right? Like, are they helping people in their own communities? Are they hiring Hispanic people, minority people, women? So how are they using their brand to help others? And yeah, it's been really nice to see, it's because it's such different categories. Sometimes these brands align themselves. So now they have their own community that they've developed amongst recipients, and they help each other. They'll do social media campaigns together, or if they're in the same cities, they'll meet up and send me a picture. And so it's just really sweet to see how it's taken on a life of its own.
Oh my goodness. It's like the ripple effect.
Really?
It just keeps growing outwardly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. For our listeners, the Latina listeners, a lot of founders, a lot of entrepreneurs. What do you think is the proven for you over and over again to be the critical piece that really kept you going?
Yeah, I think there's a certain fight that we have in us, right? It's a fire in our bellies. You can't dim it, you can't tame it. It's just going to be there, right? if it's not yes. towards one thing, it's another. Like, we have passion in our veins. And so I think it's just the point in time where you decide you're going to do it. Or I'd like to say you can't not do it anymore. I think for...
Because it's eating you up a little bit by not doing it.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, the longer you not do it, the more you feel it. Like,
yeah.
Like,
angsty.
Exactly. Yeah. And so you have to kind of let it out. You know, I think the hard part for me was I was, you know, someone in my like early 30s, right? I'd been doing something for so long that I thought defined me. It gave me an identity. I had success doing it. And so, and not to mention a steady paycheck.
it was really hard
to kind of like do that and build a business at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, at what point do you decide like, okay, I've saved up enough, or I think it's enough to survive on. And to, you know, go through with this business and, you know, step off this like cliff, if you will, and be like, oh, will there be that invisible floor for it to get? And so, yeah, I think I give the advice sometimes that it's like when you're dating two people, like there's a certain point. Like, okay, you're like, I'm not doing it. This is not working. Like, you have to make a decision, right? That point was I was working my day job and I was building my business, and there were some sales meetings that I couldn't take for my new business because I had like, you know, work calls or work meetings to attend to.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was realizing like, I'm not doing either one of these well, like I need to decide. And so it was then that I was like, okay, I'm ready. And it was the Kickstarter campaign, I think, that really gave me that courage to know like there's something here.
Was the experience isolating during that time? Because again, I mean, you're the only one in the industry, but I can't imagine, like, I'm just thinking for myself, like my girlfriends would have been like, you're crazy. I'm not going to be part of this. Like it's you're on your own. Was it isolating for you to go in that venture?
Yes and no. I mean, like there's other people, like another like Latina, but there were a lot of women in the industry. I found an alliance. There were, I guess, 10 of us that started a group called the Women's Cocktail Collective. And we were not like husband wife teams. We were just ladies going at it alone in the spirits industry. So finding that community and that support, especially amongst women, there's a lot of honesty, of like how it's really going. And so that was helpful. And like I said, you know, the Whiskey Sisters, that they were also almost like my mentors and friends and cheerleaders from the sidelines. You know, my own friends who had seen me do these like Scotch events, like just sort of as a hobby in my own time, they were very proud of me to see me like, you know, creating a business out of it. And then, yeah, I think it was just early on, there was quite a bit of press and publicity that came out from the Kickstarter campaign. But the story is just wacky enough to still have legs, right? Like, Hispanic, like Cuban lady living in California, making a scotch, crowdfunding it. And it's one like they were at the wars and beat out Johnny Walker Blue, and it's all like $40. Like all of these things are just kind of like aligned
to
make the story interesting enough, right?
And interesting. So, it's golden. It's out there constellation wise. Like, wow. No competition here. So now, what are you thinking? Where are you going? Like,
So the brand, it's still growing, right? Like this guy, it's not yet, I would say, like a household name, right? And so when my goal is for Sia to expand the states that we're in already and to grow into more bars and restaurants and stores. So, you know, if listeners, if there's a place that you want Sia, just let me know.
Try
to get it there. And then same thing, to expand it to be not only a national brand, but someday an international brand. You know, when I go through and I travel to other countries and I see these duty-free shops and I think like someday Sia is going to be on the shelf, you know?
Okay. So you keep growing the vision.
Yeah.
You have that. Yes. That love of expanding it. I'm going to have to try the cocktail with this. Do you have that on the website? Are there recipes?
Yeah, on the website and on Instagram, it's Sia Scotch Whiskey for both. There's lots of cocktail recipes there, and I try to keep them simple. You know, things that are 3-4 ingredients that, you know, don't require you to go out and buy some like special tincture or make something, you know, to try to like, my whole goal, right, is to make it more accessible, affordable, enjoyable for people to get started. And so, yeah, the cocktails very much are our way to do that.
So are the 14 states, are they scattered across the U.S.? Are you emphasizing certain regions? Where can people look for this?
I think there's definitely, focus on some of the major metropolitan areas where there is more of that diverse, you know, multicultural consumer, Florida, Texas, California, New York, New Jersey, Illinois. So like the big ones and then, yeah, some of the smaller states as well, but not necessarily by a geographic footprint.
Okay. So we just have to have some meetups where all the ladies in those states can just fill their cars and we just go have events where you can't be found.
Sounds like even better. On reservebar.com/Sia, you can just order a bottle and have it shipped to you. So you don't have to leave your house.
There you go. Okay, there you go. So it is accessible no matter where you are.
Yes.
If you're over the drinking age. So... this, again, I keep saying it over and over because it did blow my mind. It stayed mind blown all week after thinking about what you had done because it's, I haven't seen it done again. And nobody would come across you and say, oh yeah, she's a Scotch founder for sure. But what would be another part of you that we would have no idea to guess?
That's a great question. So, I'll tell you the joke after this, but I am I'm a licensed pilot. I am part of the 7% of licensed pilots in the United States who are women. So very small percentage of pilots. It was a dream I always had was to learn how to fly. And it was after my divorce that I thought, you know what? I've got free time, got a little extra money I don't need for couples counseling anymore. I'm gonna get this pilot's license that I always wanted. So yeah, I fly a very small plane. They're single engine Cessnas, 172s around the Bay Area. And it's an amazing feeling. And it's just a joy. But my brother is also a licensed pilot. He got inspired by me and he got his license and he went way farther. He's got a commercial license now. Again, still as a hobby, but very further in the line. But we have this running joke that we call it Old Faithful at a dinner party. You're like, how do you know somebody's a pilot? Like, don't worry, they'll tell you.
Yeah, again, didn't see that one coming. You have this courage of just breaking barriers. You love the unknown.
I think it's funny, though, that I've chosen these two worlds that are typically male-dominated, not by on purpose. It just happens to be what I enjoy. And at a time in our history where it's okay, right? Like, yeah. You know, to be a pioneer, to be one of the first, to be new, and to kind of start changing it. Like, one of the best examples of that is the flight school that I go to here in Napa. All of the instructors are women. So it's fantastic.
Oh my Lord.
Oh yeah. It's just to see that, you know, that the faces of these categories are changing now.
And the freedom they're finding that comes with it.
Yeah.
Although I could never, I love flying.
Yeah.
But those little planes.
Oh, you know, it's funny when I go on the big, like commercial flights and there's turbulence, I freak out. And I know that's fine, like in my mind, but there's like a slight control freak inside of me. That's like, you know, like having someone else take the reins versus being in control. But maybe that's why, you know, our careers are really similar. Like we decide to start our own businesses because we don't want to, you know, be told or work for someone else or not be in control.
That is so on point. I could see though. Okay. Sia's going super, super big. And you have your own private jet and there's Sia being served on it. I mean, Taylor Swift has to move over because I see you, Karin, as coming in and giving it a whole different vibe, some Latin beats going on. Yes. I see a girlfriend trip coming up. Going back to Miami or going to Cuba.
Miami's so fun and vibrant. And like just seeing how much it's changed over time. I mean, I left when I was 19 and I'm 46. So it's like things that are so normal in Miami now weren't happening when I was there, right? Like Art Basel or Winter Music Conference or like, you know, Ultra, like all these, like being South Beach was just getting started. Wynwood and Brickell and the Grove and like all these areas that it's really changed so much. But just seeing like people from all over living there now too.
Yeah, it got very sophisticated. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a beautiful city. I was just there in October. On my way to Colombia. Yeah.
Ooh, I love
it. I went for my birthday. I'm like, you know, yeah, it's like, well, Miami's not Florida.
I was saying that Miami is the closest country to the United States.
Oh, yeah. Do you have family in Miami still?
Yeah, my mom, my cousins, my madrina.
Oh.
Like, it's fun to go home and see people and, you know, just kind of like, you drop in, you know, instantly everywhere like you go, people are speaking Spanish to you first, right? And it just, yeah, it just feels like home. It's it's easy to go back to. It's fun to work that market as, you know, hometown story. People are like, oh, you're the Cuban girl with the scratch. It's a lot of pride. Like, people are really proud of the story, of the brand, of me.
Yeah.
So it really feels like just wind in my sails when I go down there. And just to see all the creativity and the, you know, the versatility that people are really having fun with the spirit, you know, seeing like Baba Mojito, or like we did a cocktail at a place called Calle Dragones. So they did a pastelito cocktail. So it's like guava puree with sia, had lime juice in it, like a toasted croissant, simple syrup. And then on top was like a cream cheese foam. So it's just amazing.
Wow. I was waiting for, wait, where's the sweetness coming in? Oh my God. Wait, toasted croissant?
Simple syrup. I've made this at home. It's delicious. So you just make croissants, you kind of almost burn them, but then like when you just take sugar and water in your saucepan, you make that into like a simple syrup, and then you just soak the croissants in it, like, you know, for a few hours or overnight, and then drain it. And then you have this amazing syrup that you can use in your coffee, in your ice cream, like in your milk, anything, in your cocktails. Yeah.
And this is why we need women in charge of everything. Life joy just went skyrocketing.
It's just so easy to make, too. It sounds really complicated, but that's it. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I'm so busting this out. So what would be your favorite Cuban dish to have with sea scotch?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I'm a sucker for flan. So
I've
got a sweet tooth, as you could probably tell by me describing the pastelitos. My grandmother used to make the best flan, and it was something that maybe that's also why sia has like those notes of caramel and vanilla, right?
Yeah.
Like childhood, you know, memory of that flavor profile. So I love pairing sia with desserts. I think anything sweet, right, is always where I tend to lean to.
Yeah, you could even make the base syrup for the flan. You could make the base syrup with the sia scotch.
I've had a friend, she makes ice cream with sia. She uses it to make like a caramel sauce. I think there was someone used it like as a part of their mojo for like their pork. We just have fun cooking with it too. We did a series for Hispanic Heritage Month last year where we had a chef we had two chefs. One, he made a sia cocktail, but really what it was just so simple but beautiful. And he took coconut water and made ice cubes out of it, and like, you know, really big coconut water ice cube. And that was it, like put it into sia. So as it melted, you get more of that coconut flavor. And then the other one, he did like a 5-course tasting experience where he showcased flavors in the cocktails and in the dishes that had ingredients that we find in our cuisine. So one was with lime, one was with coconut, one was with cinnamon, canela, one was with culantro, and then one was with piña. So it was just like, you know, each of the cocktails and each of the dishes. And it was fun to see those pairings come together.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is so creative. This is getting my mind going. Like, oh, you could do so many different things.
Yeah.
I'll have to introduce this.
It can go really well with sweet or savory, right? It just depends on what the cocktail is, what your mood is. And you can always just try it neat too.
I love the coconut ice idea. That's fun.
You know, Miss Leche's dessert?
Like yes.
Oh my gosh. So I think I might need to just like, you know,
soak it.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
Surprised
soak
I haven't done
cake. Yeah.
I'm talking to you.
But now I'm seeing you have another business. Like, you should have a pastelería and the dessert that all have the sea of blended through it. The saying, I mean, now that you have your spare time.
I have to up my workouts if I'm going to be sitting all the time.
Yeah, well, I'll volunteer. I'll take that, I need know, that burden. Test. Yeah, exactly. I'll take the weight gain burden from you. Like, I'll be the tester. Two final finals. What is your biggest dream for you? What would be like out of this world? Walking through a door, you're in a completely different world. What does it look like?
Wow. I mean, I think finding, you know, that moment where Sia is that household name, seeing it the same way that you'd see any like enormous large brand. But because not so much the ego behind it, the reason for that is then that means that the brand is successful enough that I have completed that journey for many, 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 many more minority entrepreneurs. It's my North Star, my passion, like seeing these small businesses shine, seeing them be able to give back to their communities and help support people on their journeys, right? Like to bring it full circle, I think that's where I want it to get to. So yeah, that would be the dream.
Oh, that's beautiful. You are a beautiful spirit.
Aw, thank you.
Yeah, no pun intended, but pun of thought. Yeah, you are. You have this joy that you're bringing forward in the world with such, I mean, when you present yourself with such a mission through your business, through your product, it does make us want to be part of that, legacy, support what you're doing, provide more grants. Do you have a favorite cafecito place?
Ooh, yeah. So this is kind of like it's a hot topic for me and my mom because it really goes down to the croquetas, right? So she's all about Islas Canarias croquetas and I'm all about La Carreta croquetas. So that's where I'm chopping into as well. Because yeah, we kind of go hand in hand. So for me, I love colada or cortadito from La Carreta, and it's usually in the Kendall La Carreta in Miami.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I have a memory of my grandmother in her kitchen. She had like the metal tin, you know, and the sugar and a couple drops of the espresso. And she's just like grinding the sugar into the coffee. And like the sound of the spoon hitting the metal of the coffee holder is just something that's like, it's a memory, right? Like I can even smell it right now talking about it, like all the coffee and the sugar. And this is when I was a kid, like I wasn't drinking it, but I remember that smell and the sound. And so, yeah, I think that it tastes the way that smells. And that's why I love going back there.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Can you please have like a CF festival in Miami that we could all attend?
That would be so cool. You know, I've been talking about doing like with some of my teammates down in Miami. Like, how come there's not a croqueta festival? Like, croquetas are just such a staple in like so many different cultures.
Yeah.
You know? Everyone has their recipe or their grandmother's recipe or like a fusion recipe. And so it'd be fun to like kind of host one like that and just have Sia be the sponsor for it and have like, you know, domino tournament and have some salsa lessons, like live bands. Like it would be so much fun. So,
yeah. Outdoor.
If anybody wants to work on this with me, just give me a call.
Let's do it. Yeah. The whole vision, right? Oh, Karin, what a pleasure. Thank you so much.
What a pleasure. I've had just a smile on my face the whole time we've spoken. So thank you so much for being just such a light and bringing so much joy to everyone's lives that you touch.
Oh, yes. Ditto. I'm so honored to have held the mic for you and get this story everywhere around the world. Now, let's see if we put the little seeds out there for Sia to be international.
Oh, may it be so. Thank you so much.
Okay. Putting it up. Manifest. We said it. It's going to be.
It's done.
It's done. Easy. You can relax now. It's done.
Karin Luna Ostaseski. She is all that. What an amazing Latina, filled with joy and love of family and her cultura, all of which are poured into the sexy bottle of Sia Scotch for the world to celebrate. We're so blessed that Karin found the tenacity and determination to make her dream come true, a dream she shares with all of us. So let's lean in again and help her make her next dream come true by making Sia Scotch a household name. You can order Sia Scotch through reservebar.com. Of course, you have to be 21 and over in order to do so. and have it delivered home or to your amigas hosting the next gathering. Get the music started. Life just got a whole lot better. Reach out to Karin through the links in our show notes of this episode. Follow Sia Scotch on Instagram at Sia Scotch Whiskey and visit the website at siascotchwhiskey.com. Join us next week for the Pod Club episode of today, a 15-minute highlight of the life lesson we learned here today of creating legacy, honoring the past while investing in the future. Raise your glass and salute to Karin Luna Ostaseski for giving us all something to celebrate. Step into your truth, ladies. Ciao. We love that you have subscribed to this podcast and continue to champion women who understand the life of all things Latina. Be sure to follow and subscribe to the Encuentros Your Voice podcast so you don't miss a single episode. They will automatically drop into your listening device each week. And we'd really, really appreciate if you take a moment to add to the reviews that we already have. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you're hoping to hear, and we will get there. Share this with your friends and family to help us grow our comunidad and keep following us on our social media. To Encuentras Your Voice, we are so grateful to you for helping us grow this community and would love to learn of all the amazing Latinas who you know are creating the world we thrive in. So reach out to me on social media at Encuentras Your Voice and let's keep leaning into our authenticity in pride. Help us make Encuentras Your Voice the place where you are 100% represented.